wish you all the happiness and blessings. And I might like to share a little item with you. This past October, I made my 32nd birthday. Amen. In the Lord, that is. Back in 1978, I received God as my Jesus into my heart, and it's one of the best things that ever happened to me during my life. Excuse me. This song I'm going to sing tonight is O Glorious Love. And without the glorious love of Jesus Christ, I wouldn't be standing here. In my darkness, Jesus found me, touched my eyes and made me see, broke sin's chains that long had bound me, gave me life and liberty. Oh, glorious love of Christ, my Lord divine, that made him stoop to save a soul like mine. Through all my days and then in heaven above, my song will silence never. I'll worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love. Oh, amazing truth to ponder, ye whom angel hosts attend. Lord of heaven, God's Son, what wonder, he became the sinner's friend. Oh, glorious love of Christ, my Lord divine, that made him stoop to save a soul like mine. Through all my days and then in heaven above, my tongue will silence never. I worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love. My tongue will silence never. I worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love, and praise him for his glorious love, and praise him for his glorious love.
Amen. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter number 2. Thank the Lord for that song. Brother Niccolo, we appreciate that. I thank the Lord for, it does my heart wonderful to see three of my four children up here singing and praising the Lord. Amen. And so I appreciate the fact that they're able to be with us. You got to meet some of them today, and tomorrow my daughter from North Carolina will be flying up. You'll meet her next week and get her acquainted with some of you folks. And my kids grew up here. I think the oldest was 3 when we moved here. The second was 1.5 years. Carly and Cody were born while we were been here, and so this is their home. This is their church home. This is where they grew up. This is where they were taught Sunday school and youth group and VBS and church, junior church, and then what we called big church in our home, you know. And so I was grateful to see them come and be desirous to sing praises unto the Lord. And that's what they do in their churches and the ministry Cody's involved in at Wolby. And so we appreciate that. And it's good to see you this morning. Kind of foggy, a little snowy still out there, amen? But this is December, right? No, January now, right? You caught me. This is January. Now we have to get used to putting a 1-1 on the end of the 20 instead of a 1-0 on the end of the 20. I get used to that in the month of November, so that'll work out just fine. Matthew chapter 2. Going to take another look here one more time. We've been in this a couple of weeks now. I want to thank Brother Steve DeRozier for filling in for me last Sunday. Our flight plans had to change when the snow was coming in. And praise the Lord, we were able to get out of the airport on Sunday rather than waiting till Monday. We never would have got out until Tuesday afternoon, they told us. So the Lord worked all that out. But I praise the Lord for Brother Steve coming and preaching God's word here in this place. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Our gracious Father in heaven, once again we come before you this morning and we ask and pray your blessing be upon God's people as your word goes forth from this place. Father, my heart has already been blessed this morning in the singing, in the fellowship, and the opportunity to gather in this place that's been set aside for the preaching and worship of our great God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask and pray in these next few moments, Holy Spirit, that you might have liberty to work in every heart. We're beginning a brand new year. And with this brand new year comes brand new opportunities to live for you and to serve you. Greater ways this coming year, 2011, than perhaps experienced in 2010. Lord, keep us always and forever looking upward, forward, going on, pressing on, moving ahead for you. It's our prayer today that we would see more souls saved in 2011. It's our prayer today that we'd see the waters of baptism stirring. It's our prayer today that we would see many more folks want to unite themselves in the fellowship of South Swansea Baptist Church. And God, that you would use us, that you would use this church, this body of believers, this called out assembly to do the most important thing that I believe that we can be about, and that is to worship you, desire to serve you, and to live for you, until you call us to yourself. Bless us this day and speak to us from your word, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I picked this up the other day and I share it with you. You've probably heard this perhaps. 'Twas the day after Christmas and all through the house, every creature was hurting, even the mouse. The toys were all broken, their batteries dead. Santa passed out with some ice on his head. Wrapping in ribbons just covered the floor while upstairs the family continued to snore. And I in my t-shirt, new Reeboks and jeans, I went into the kitchen and started to clean. When out of the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the sink to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the curtains and threw up the sash. When what to my wandering eye should appear but a little white truck with an oversized mirror. The driver was smiling so lively and grand, the patch on his jacket said, U.S. Postman. With a handful of bills, he grinned like a fox. Then quickly he stuffed them into our mailbox. Bill after bill after bill they came, whistling and shouting, he called them by name. Now Dillard's, now Broadway's, now Penny's and Sears. Here's a Robinson, Levitt's and Target's and Mervyn's. To the tip or your limit, every store, every mall. Now charge away, charge away, charge away all. He whooped and he whistled as he finished his work. He filled up the box and then he turned with a jerk. He sprang to his truck and he drove down the road, driving much faster now with just half a load. Then I heard him exclaim with great holiday cheer, "Enjoy what you bought. You'll be paying all year." I hope that wasn't you. Amen? Lord, save us from that. What do you do now that Christmas is over? That's the title of our message. That's our thought we want to give to you today. What do you do now that Christmas is all over? This is often referred to as the after Christmas syndrome, the ACS, right? They have titles and numbers and dials for everything. After Christmas syndrome, the gifts have been unwrapped, your trash can is full, all the friends and family on their way home from Christmas gatherings, the tree's ready to be taken down along with all other decorations. Another Christmas has come. Another Christmas is gone, leaving you with what they refer to as the post-Christmas blues. What do Christians do now that Christmas is over? The gift-giving's done. The exchanging of cards is over. The gifts have been unwrapped. The clothing you received is hung up in the closet or placed into the dresser drawer. The toys for the children, they have found their place. The little accessorizing that you might have received, everything finds its way to where it belongs. But what do we do? Do we simply settle back into the old routine? Do we become blue? Do we pack away the Christmas spirit? Do we put it up until next year? There was a family that was driving by a church a few days after Christmas when a little boy in the back seat of the car noticed that the nativity scene had been taken down. And he said so innocently from his back seat to his mother and father up in the front, "I see they've put Jesus away for another year." Unfortunately, isn't that what all too often happens? You know, we get caught up, and it's wonderful to do this. There seems to be a certain spirit at Christmas time. There's the wishes of Merry Christmas, and there's also the wishing of have a happy, blessed, fruitful new year. But how many times do we see Jesus get put away with the wrappings, nativity scenes, lights, ornaments, etc.? And when we put all that away, we take down the things in our home, what do we do now that Christmas is over? I believe the Bible gives us in the text we look at once more before we move on to another part of Scripture next time we meet, that there are some things here, there are some individuals who can show us what to do now that Christmas is over. And so I want to take you back to the account of the Magi. Now again, who were these Magi? According to the ancient historian Herodotus, the Magi were a tribe of people within a larger people called the Medes, M-E-D-E-S. They were a hereditary priesthood tribe, somewhat like the priesthood tribe of the Levites, the children of Israel. They functioned as the priests in their pagan rituals. And from the time of the Babylonian Empire to the time of the Roman Empire, they maintained a place of tremendous prominence. They maintained a place of tremendous influence and significance in the Orient from which they came. Isn't it strange when you understand that? Isn't it strange how that God chose them to show us what we should continue to do after Christmas is over, after we celebrate the birth of Christ, after we celebrate the dawning of a brand new year? I find it significant. There are two things the Magi did, I believe, that we can do throughout all the year that really sets up the answer for our question. What do we do now that Christmas is over? Two main thoughts we give you. First of all, look at chapter number 2 of Matthew, verse number 1. Again, our text. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, this is after that Christmas time, that celebration, the birth of the babe in the manger stall. After that, the Bible says, in the days of Herod the king, wise men, these magi from the east, came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, have come to worship him. You know, I was reading this account the other day, and I made kind of like an upside-down pyramid, you know, like a V in my Bible. And really, it really spoke volumes to me as I'm studying this again. They asked the question, where is he? And that's what I put. Where is he, his star, him? Because when it all comes down to it, do away with all the wrappings and the trappings and displays and all the lights and all the presents and everything that comes out of this, you end up with him. Where is he, his star? The focus is him. And this is something we are taught as we read the scripture. We can seek Christ. Continue to seek Christ throughout the year. It's not just about wishing somebody the Merry Christmas, Christ in Christmas. We will continue to do that, sure. But after Christmas is gone, after the decorations are down, after the gifts have been given, it'd be very easy for us to fall into that old routine, putting the decorations away, putting Jesus away, and saying, we'll see you next year, when the truth of the Magi is as they sought him, we continued to seek him throughout all the year. Now, the text makes it clear that they were on a mission. They were seeking the King of the Jews, and these men sought the Christ long after the miracle of the birth of the baby took place. And some things that we note from this, when we genuinely seek Christ, it's going to require some things of us. The very same things it required of the Magi. Number one, it takes effort to seek Christ. Amen? It just doesn't happen. You don't just wake up one morning with the thought, oh, I think I'll seek Christ today. That just doesn't happen. It's going to take some effort on your part. These Magi had to make a long journey. They overcame some great obstacles. And on top of that, they had to deal with some really tough people. They had to deal with some religious leaders, very tough. They had to deal with a self-absorbed, dangerous man by the name of King Herod. You know about him. And his desire to destroy all the children, 2 years and under. He was no friend of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It took effort on the part of the Magi coming from the Orient to seek Jesus. And let me say to you, now that Christmas is over, it's going to continue to take effort. Effort on your part to purposefully seek after the Lord Jesus Christ. But it not only took effort on their part, number two, it took time. It takes time to seek Christ. It took a lot of the Magi's time. Seeking Christ is not a one-time experience. Seeking Christ is not something that can be rushed. It requires that we spend time with him. It requires that we read and get in the Word. I'm not talking a Reader's Digest Bible where we fly through a passage in 3 minutes. I'm talking a copy of the Word of God, reading the Word of God, taking time to nestle yourself down in that Word as if you were there, as if you were a participant, active, at the very time the account is taking place. It takes time reading the Word. It takes time in a study of the Word. It takes time looking up and cross-referencing and looking at one word and getting all the gold, all the treasure out of that one word, looking at one phrase. See how Scripture interprets Scripture. What I'm saying is in reading the Word and in studying the Word and taking the time, I guess we could say this. You and I need to learn, now that Christmas is over and all the celebratory things are done and we don't want to slide back into our pre-Christmas routines, it's going to take some effort, it's going to take some time for us to make it personal. To make it personal. And that's what we need to do. We have a personal relationship with a personal God who has a personal word for us every single day. And we need to make it personal this morning. Not only did it take the Magi effort and time, how about sacrifice? How about sacrifice? These magi made great sacrifices to find the Christ, and seeking him will require sacrifices on our part. What are some of the sacrifices? You know, we make sacrifice in the area of time, don't we? Time. We're talking a little while ago about just making time. So they say, well, I don't have time to read, or I don't have time to pray, or I, you know, you hear that, but you know, you always fall back to the truth that you will always make time for that which is important to you. You just do. You find a way. And so we're talking about sacrifice, sacrifice of time. How about sacrifice of talent? It's very easy to slide back and just say, well, Lord, I want to be used, but I don't. How can you use me? God is able to use anybody. Amen. God is able to use anything. And God has a desire to use you and me. But you know what? There's a sacrifice involved in that. There may be times that you know God has a position for you, God has an opportunity for you, and you need to come before him willing to sacrifice what God would have you to do in service and ministry for our great God. It's going to take energy. It's going to take some energy. Time, talent, energy. The sacrifice of energy. Listen, have you ever been up all night in prayer because somebody had a need? Have you ever been up all night in prayer because somebody was ill? Have you ever gone out? We're in the wintertime now. We have snow on the ground. Have you ever gotten a call in the middle of the night and you had to get out there in the middle of a snow and clean off the car and go to somebody's home because they had need? What did you do? It took a sacrifice of energy on your part. There are sometimes those situations we'd rather not be a part of, humanly speaking. We'd rather not be or doing. We're in the comfort of home. It's warm and we're cozy. And then the phone rings. And somebody on the other end of the phone says, I need you. It's a sacrifice of energy that you go and you pour forth. Seeking Christ requires sacrifice on our part. Paul certainly was willing to make sacrifices. Remember in Philippians chapter 3? Philippians chapter 3, Paul reads through, he shares with us the litany of events and things, and he talks about his love for Christ and the Spirit of God, and Paul goes on to talk about his credentials as he was of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, Paul said a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, Paul said blameless. But then Paul says, but what things were gained to me, what things fell into the profit column to me, these, he said, I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as dung, rubbish, refuse, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Listen to Paul, not having mine own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. You know what that speaks volumes about? Sacrifice. Paul willing to sacrifice all that he was, all that he is, and all that he would ever hope to be for the cause of Christ. Listen, when we genuinely seek Christ, the Bible teaches us a wonderful truth. You genuinely seek him, you find him. Amen? In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, the prophet wrote, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I wish we had time to expand on that phrase, with all your heart. You know, Jesus did that in the Gospel of Matthew, talking about loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Folks, our very core, the very spiritual core of who we are in Christ, we owe him nothing less than to put forth the effort, than to put forth the time, than to make the sacrifice for all he has done for you and me. Bible goes on to tell us that when we genuinely seek Christ, we're richly blessed. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says of these magi that when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Bible tells us that when we genuinely seek Christ, we're not only richly blessed as we experience His joy, but we're richly blessed as we experience His presence. Verse 11 said, when they had come into the house, they saw the young child Mary, his mother, fell down, worshipped him, and opened their presents, their gifts, their treasures, and presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Here it is. We're richly blessed as we experience His joy. We are richly blessed as we experience the presence of Jesus Christ. You know, the psalmist once again said in Psalm 16, verse 11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence, the scripture states, is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. How do we seek Him? How do we seek Him? Here are a few things that we can do. I believe with all my heart. First, very simple. But don't let it be so simple it escapes you. How do we seek Him? First, we pray. We pray. You know, I believe God is looking for great prayer warriors in 2011. Amen? I believe God's looking for a people of prayer, and there's much to pray for. We need to pray. How do we seek Him? Spend time daily in God's Word. I'm not talking about a hit and miss. I'm talking, remember the effort? Remember the purpose? I'm talking about having the plan set forth that each and every day you and God are going to nestle down together. You're going to nestle down together and spend time daily in God's Word. I'm talking about maintaining a daily quiet time. I'm talking about a time where you pray and you talk to God and you share your cares with God and your heart's desire and your wants and you're making intercessory prayer for others. I'm talking about that time that you speak to God and then allowing God that time that He speaks to you. And let God do that work in your heart. I'm talking about how do you seek Him? I'm talking about attending church regularly. I'm talking about letting nothing get in the way of you coming to that local New Testament Baptist church where you let God speak to you from the worship and the preaching and the teaching of His Word, the fellowship of the saints, the getting together, the sharing in prayer requests, the giving to needs, all of that. I'm talking, don't let anything get in the way. Somebody said, well, when don't you go to your church? I said, I don't go to my church if I'm either on vacation or dead. Amen? That's it. I mean, there have been, over the years, I think since I've been a Christian, Manny said 32 years this past October for him. I'm coming up this month, I'm coming up on 35 years knowing Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. And folks, I can tell you, aside from a bad illness or an operation or a surgery that I have not been in the pulpit, I can count on one hand the times that a sickness has kept me out of church or out of the pulpit. And even at home, thank God for technology, you know what's on? Preacher after preacher after preacher. Why? Because I need it. You know what I do when I go on vacation? Church. Where is one? Don't vacation from God. Amen? We need to get into that mindset. If Christ loved the church enough that He died for it, you and I ought to love it enough that we're willing to live for it. Amen? And let God use us in this place, this ministry, known as the Church of Jesus Christ. How do we seek Him? Pray, spend time daily in God's Word. Maintain a daily quiet time. Attend church regularly. How about this? Tell of the hope that is in you. Do you have a hope? Your hope is in Christ, amen? You have a hope. You live in a hopeless world. People are walking around. People are running around. They're looking for answers. They're looking for somebody how to show them the way. Guess what? You are a way shower. You have opportunity to share the love of Christ. You say, preacher, I've never talked to anybody about the Lord. What do I do? You just tell people what He did for you. You tell people how He saved you. You tell people about the change He's made in your life. And then if you say, well, preacher, I don't know what He's done for me, and He hasn't made any change for me, then I suggest you get saved and let Him do that. Amen? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature, old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We can seek Christ throughout the year. Secondly, finally, we're done. We can worship Christ throughout the year. See, that's what these wise men did, these magi, when they came seeking Christ. They found him, and the Bible said in verse 11, they fell down and worshiped him. Can I say to you that worship is the most important work of the church? Can I say to you that worship is the lifeblood of the church? Can I say to you, worship is the most important service of the believer, and it should be the highest priority in your life? You say, well, wait a minute. Listen. Until you learn to worship God, you'll never pray like you ought to. Until you learn to worship God, you'll never be in your Bible like you ought to. Until you learn to worship God, you will never tell somebody about him like you ought to. Until you worship God, you will never use your time, talent, energies like you ought to. What I'm saying is you need to get to the place that you fall down and fall in love with Jesus Christ. Amen? You need to get to the place to say, God, here I am. I might not have gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but I'm on my face before you, worshiping you, and all that I am and all that I have, it's yours. It is yours. Because, beloved, I want you to think about this. All that he has and all that he is yours as a child of God. Think about that for a moment. Think about that for a moment. How do we worship Christ? We learn some things from the Magi. We can make him the focus of our worship. Make him the focus. Don't focus on man. Don't focus on a building. Don't focus on people. You focus on Jesus. You focus on him. You know, when I focus on Jesus, my relationship to my wife is so much better. You know that. And you know, when I focus on Jesus, my relationship to my children is so much better. When he is where he ought to be in my life, everything goes so much better. The Magi came, and you know what, as they said, we see his star. Remember? Where is he? Right? Here it is. Where is he? His star? Him. That was their focus. That ought to be ours as well as we worship Christ. How do we worship him? We submit our life to him. The Magi did this as they bowed down before Christ. There's not a whole lot of talk anymore. Not a whole lot of teaching on submission. Submission seems to be a bad word in the taste, the mouth and the taste of people. It's a good thing to submit to Jesus Christ. I've tried, before I got saved, I tried to submit to myself. And guess what? Didn't work. Didn't work. I messed things up. Amen? And you messed up your own self before you came to Christ. If truth be told, when you come to Jesus Christ, you submit to him. You say, Lord, I run up the white flag. God, I give you the blank sheet of paper. God, you sign the orders on it. God, here I am. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. And then this, with the Magi, a lesson we're taught on worshiping Christ, not only make him the focus of your worship and submit to him, but as we stated a moment ago, give your all to him. The Magi gave the most costly of gifts. I would say to you today, the most costly of gift that you can bring before the Lord Jesus today is yourself. It's you. He died for you. He rose for you, and he sits at the right hand of the Father today, waiting word to come back for you. You are very precious to him. It's my prayer that he's as precious or more to you. What do we do now that Christmas is over? We seek and we worship Christ. We seek him year-round. We worship him each day. And I leave you with this last thought. Live for him today like it is your last. Do you know why? Do you know why there's the encouragement to live for him today like it's your last? It might very well be. None of us knows what the future holds. Amen? Amen. Every year, I've seen more added at this time of the year. And every year, we see some taken away. This might be your last. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to just surrender yourself, to commit to Him, to give Him your best in 2011, to put forth your best effort in prayer and in reading and in studying and in witnessing and in fellowshipping in the household of faith, in attending church, in asking God to use you. That's my prayer for 2011, that we would seek Him greater than ever before and that we would worship Him in greater ways than we've ever done as the history of a church. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. Amen? That's our prayer. Let's pray that together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, thank You so much for this time that we can come to this place. Father, we thank You for each child of God that's gathered in this room. Younger and older alike, Lord, we pray Your blessing be upon them. God, I pray that You would use us in great and wonderful ways. Not that we lift up self, but that we lift up the Savior.